This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, March 7th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll tell you about how the law barges into the fun and games of the trading card business. We'll also get a forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser. But first, a look at today's news. Illinois' governor will lay out his budget blueprint for the state when he delivers his budget address at the Capitol. The governor will talk about boosting health care and school funding with new taxes to pay for it all. Sean Crawford has a preview.
Rod Blagojevich has gone on record several times saying many large companies don't pay their fair share of taxes. That's likely to be a major theme in today's address, and the governor has a solution. He wants to impose a gross receipts tax where businesses pay a fee for all transactions. Businesses, however, are concerned and say it could lead to the cost of goods and services going up. Blagojevich would allow some types of companies to avoid paying the new tax. Manufacturing would pay at a smaller rate than others. It would only kick in once a firm made over $1 million a year. The governor's aim is to use the proceeds for universal health care, providing coverage to the uninsured. Businesses would also face a payroll tax, which could be higher for companies that don't offer employees health insurance. The governor also will propose a more than 20% increase in dollars for schools, but no plan to shift the burden of paying for education from the local property tax. His controversial plan to sell the Illinois Lottery is included in his budget, with the money helping to provide an infusion of cash into the poorly funded pension systems for downstate teachers and public employees. I'm Sean Crawford.
You can hear the budget address at noon Central on AM 580. Electric rates had been steady for a decade, but at the start of this year, Commonwealth Edison and Ameren started charging more. The smallest increase was about 24%, the highest upwards of about 200%. Yesterday, the Illinois House took action to bring those prices back down. It approved a measure that would roll back electric rates and freeze them for several years. Some lawmakers say that would bring much-needed relief to struggling consumers. Rockford area Republican Dave Winters agrees the legislature should do something to help electric customers, but he says this action goes too far.
We don't have to take a sledgehammer to solve that issue. We can deal with it with smaller tools, ones that can leave the company in a position that it can in fact continue to provide reliable power.
While the House previously approved freezing rates at the previous level, the state Senate has refused to go along. Top leaders in that chamber say they're holding meetings with key players in hopes of reaching a compromise. Work they expect will take at least several more weeks. Many lawmakers say the governor should be taking the lead in holding those negotiations. Now that the Champaign County Nursing Home is in its new building, county officials are looking for new uses for the old one. But they're running into money troubles that may keep them from renovating the old building. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
County officials toured the recently vacated old nursing home last night as part of a County Board Facilities Committee meeting. Stopping in the kitchen, Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup explained how the tile, the floor drains, and the walk-in coolers would make it easy to convert into a morgue.
In fact, a lot of the morgues in the state that are in use right now were actually old kitchens or facilities in other buildings.
Facilities Committee Chairman Steve Beckett says they started planning new uses for the old nursing home a year or two ago, but he says those plans assumed they could afford to renovate the building.
That anticipated that the nursing home was going to get out last May. That anticipated that the nursing home's operating budget would turn itself around.
Instead, the nursing home's operating deficits and new building construction delays have drained the county's general corporate fund, and Beckett says they'll have trouble finding money to prepare the old nursing home for a long period of non-use, let alone renovate it for new occupants. The Facilities Committee will look at the problem again next month. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
There could be some closure for families of victims who were killed in the April 2004 chemical plant explosion in the central Illinois town of Illiopolis. A report released this week shows what happened and what could have been done to avoid the disaster. Krista Kukowski has that report.
The explosion left 5 dead and 3 seriously injured when the Formosa Plastics plant in Illiopolis erupted in flames. Now, almost 3 years later, the Chemical Safety Board, or CSB, says the company and the previous owner, Borden Chemical, did not adequately plan for safety precautions. Human error also played a part. CSB Chairman Carolyn Merritt says an employee mistakenly tried to open a drain connected to a reactor that was making polyvinyl chloride. The employee overrode the valve's safety interlock, which released PVC vapor that ignited. Merritt says it could have been prevented.
The investigation determined the company did not put in sufficient engineering measures to prevent the override from the critical safety interlock that allowed the pressurized vessel to discharge.
CSB says neither current or past owners had conducted evacuation drills in 10 years, which could have saved lives. CSB has given Formosa recommendations on how to prevent such a catastrophe from happening again. A spokesperson for Formosa says the company found that changes should have been made before the explosion, but ultimately found the employee to be the cause of the accident. I'm Krista Kikowski.
Negotiations on a statewide contract call into question the University of Illinois' position in getting its own exclusive contract with a soft drink provider. 10 years ago, the U of I signed an agreement with Coca-Cola to be the only soda company operating on the Urbana campus. That contract runs out this summer, but the U of I system is looking over two bids as part of a bigger contract that also covers all state-owned properties, parks, office buildings, and the state fair among them. However, Mike Bass of the U of I's Business and Financial Services office says the university can back away from that bigger contract if it doesn't like the winning bid. That would include any concerns that officials may have over Coca-Cola, the object of harsh criticism from a student group for business dealings elsewhere in the world.
I think that really becomes part and parcel of what happens after a decision is made at the state level. And that's part of the opt-out, opt-in equation for the campus to decide.
Bass says if the U of I chooses to go with the new state contract, all money generated by soda sales on the campuses will go to the university. The current deal with Coke gave the university $15 million over 10 years. Most other state universities chose not to join in with the state contract. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. When an old baseball card sells for a lot of money, some people check their attics. Commentator Amy Guida heads straight to the law books and finds that some collectors today do more than spend money on cards. They also spend money on lawyers. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
A baseball card sold for $2.3 million a few days ago. One of the really old ones, a Hannes Wagner. For those of us who saved our trading card collections from a mother's tidiness, that news truly inspires. Not only is it time to review the old cards, it might be time to bring in some new. The Hannes of our time, after all, lies somewhere tucked in a stack, in a packet, in a store someplace. Maybe it's a baseball rookie card. Maybe it's a holofoil ancient Mew, an elusive cat Pokemon, or so I've been told. If that sort of talk has a familiar ring to it, you won't be surprised to learn that there are those who claim addiction to the trading cards chase. Those super special cards that everyone wants, in fact, are called chase cards. And some who buy the trading cards, baseball or Pokemon or whatever, argue that they buy many more cards than they should, certain that the next pack will hold the cat's meow. Sort of like the lottery. And, of course, in their minds, also sort of like the lottery, someone must pay. So they brought lawsuits against the card companies. Pokemon, Topps, Upper Deck, others. The plaintiffs have tried to convince the courts that the law known as RICO, the Racketeer-Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, should apply to certain card manufacturers who place chase cards in their packs. The argument goes that RICO prevents certain gambling, and that gambling is defined as an act involving consideration, chance, and a prize. The consideration is the pack's price, the plaintiffs argue. The chance is the chance to buy a chase card, and the prize is the chase card itself. What's surprising is just how many times these plaintiffs have filed these sorts of cases. Then again, RICO allows plaintiffs to sue for threefold the damages. Or as one judge put it, they and their attorneys may have looked forward to harvesting a ripe plum at very little cost. What's not so surprising is that they and their attorneys have been resoundingly unsuccessful. The courts write things like this. Plaintiffs get precisely what they bargained for, 6 to 20 cards in a pack with a chance that one of the cards may be of Ken Griffey Jr. and that ultimately the cards are worth what the plaintiffs paid for them, and that the money paid is for the cards themselves, not for the chance at a chase card. One federal appellate court ended its discussion in a trading card case by writing that it found comfort, knowing that most of these lawsuits have been dismissed by trial courts with prejudice, meaning that the lawsuits can't be altered a bit and then refiled by the plaintiffs. Those of us who have old collections, meantime, find our comfort in knowing that maybe someday, many, many years from now, our children's children's children will attend college on a Mike Schmidt rookie card. I'm not even going to guess how many packs and how much money it took to find Mr. Schmidt. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. A couple of mainly sunny days in front of us over most of the two-state area. Our meteorologist Ed Kieser says today it'll be cloudy in northern Illinois during the morning, but partly to mostly sunny in the afternoon. In central and southern Illinois and in southwest Indiana, mostly sunny. Elsewhere in Indiana, mostly cloudy with some lingering light snow showers and flurries in the morning, and highs today ranging from 28 in far northern Illinois to around 60 in the far south. It'll be clear to partly cloudy tonight, with lows ranging from around 10 in far northern Illinois to around 30 in the far south. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny across the two states. Highs ranging from 33 in northeastern Indiana to 53 in southwest Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, March 7th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News. ¶¶